Good morning. And this morning, the family tree of God consciousness. And again, lately I've been pulling some scripture out which gets all, has its twists and turns, but I want to help to unravel this a little bit and explain how they taught and why they taught. Now, in these teachings, there can be more than one way, as you may have found, and that's perfectly fine. Jesus often taught his lessons in parables. And the reason behind this is so that each one of us hears the same lesson, but we can have our own personal experience of it. And we would all be correct. You know, and that is the absolute wisdom of Jesus at work, being able to reach to the masses and teach the many, rather than just a secluded few. So here in this story, I'm going back to the beginning of man, and here we have Adam and Eve. Now, we can see this story as of man and woman, of an entire community, as a family. We can see this story as just ourselves, the whole story of consciousness within. The stuff we're made of, how we think, how we have our being. Because you see, the beautiful thing about this story, and myself, when I was studying in Bible interpretation, is we begin to see very early on this evolution of this spark of Christ taking place in man. However, it takes quite a while to reach the level where it is mastered. And this is where Jesus comes in, because Jesus mastered Christ's consciousness. But the spark begins early on here in this family tree. So if we now just forget about the fact and try not to look at Adam and Eve as man and woman, but just as consciousness. All right. Now, the Adam is the gatherer, the protector. He is the provider and the hunter. Eve is the intuition, the imagination, the creativity, the emotion. Now, we can all, I believe, relate to all those things to one extent or another. We all have our ability to gather, to protect, to provide, to hunt, in the sense of, you know. And we all have our intuition, we all have our imagination, we all have our creativity, and we all have emotion. So this is the Adam and Eve. This is the consciousness of the human being. You see, but now in the story of Eden, there's these two trees. And one is the tree of life, and this is what God freely gives of God for us to follow and live by. And here we have the wisdom and enlightenment and the well-being and the abundance given to us. Now there's this other tree, which is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or if you like, duality. And in this other tree, we start having right and wrong and good and bad and splitting everything. There's man, there's woman, there's all. And of course, the story of Adam and Eve, they're very tempted by this other tree rather than the tree of life. And so now we get caught up in all this duality, all this confusion. We begin to complicate and unsimplify what God has so freely given us. I've often thought in prayer and meditation, I have not found it to actually be said in the Bible, but I think, I wonder, did God create the tree? Because people say, well, you know, God created the tree of knowledge. Well, maybe God didn't, man. Maybe that was man's seed and man created it. It was like you call it the first weed to grow on the earth by man. We had the tree of life. We had to grow the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In other words, I become self-centered. I can do it. I don't need God. I have it all figured out. I'll resolve these problems myself. I'll do it. And all I had to do was stay in God consciousness. Right now, we have a men's meeting on Wednesdays where we study the Bible through other books. And right now, women are invited to it. And it's Sermon on the Mount. And Emmett Fox points out that the whole idea between Jesus Christ's teaching was to tell us it's time to go within. Man had been going without. And he points out that out here is the sum of life. Within is where the creativity takes place. So we're trying to learn from what has already been made manifest rather than learn from how we make manifest. There's the invisible God, which is Elohim, and the visible God, which is Jehovah. God, from the invisible, created the heavens and the earth. And often the idea is, before God created it, he thought it. Just as we have to think before we create. This does not exist. All this does not exist without man having first imagined it in their mind. And then creating it and bringing it out here. This church, everywhere we sit, all these pianos and everything. Man had to dream the stuff up first. It just didn't materialize on its own. And that's part of how we are created in the image and likeness. Just like God. From this thing that we call the invisible, we have our creative imagination and our intelligence, and we can create. But then we come out here and we just look at the sum for the answers, rather than go within to that which is of spirit, which is what God is, which is who we are. As I love the said, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. So in all this, we now have, because they got caught up in the duality, we now have these two sons, Cain and Abel, see? And look at how different they are. Here's the duality. Neither started out wrong in the sense. In fact, Cain was a hard worker and was all about the gathering and taking care of things and making sure everything was meticulously done. And Abel was more about just hanging out and smelling the roses and enjoying life. And well, look how beautiful it all is. But they both were very self-centered in it. They both did not really include God in it. And Cain became wicked and very jealous of Abel and started to think, I don't need this loafer. I don't need this guy. He's just sitting over there smelling the roses. What do I need him for? Well, we do need all that. We need that downtime. We need to look at life and just be in awe of it and just say, oh God, this is so beautiful. Thank you for what you've created. Look at these trees. Look at the sky. And realize it's all one. It's all God. At the same time, we have to step up and get things done. But Cain didn't think he needed all that good, nice stuff. So he kills Abel. But now, let's get back into consciousness. It's kind of like I become so obsessed over something that I kill off another side of me. But I can't really kill it in the sense of what we'd call kill. But I've removed it. And I've really damaged myself. And even Cain came to know this. He even said, "What? How can I live? How can I do this?" And so he goes off into a place called Nod, which I love that word. And that's where the word nod, you think about nodding, you know, nodding as I take a nap, or became a drug term actually for addicts. You know, it's like they're nodding out all the time, you know, and we nod. So, but it means I've removed myself from living life. Cain walked without God. Cain became godless and had not God in his life, and so he was in this state of being shut down. However, God is always forgiving, and that's something that's so important for us all to remember. God is always forgiving, and God will always be our salvation. But if we don't accept God's forgiveness, how can we begin to have it? God's forgiven me, but I have not forgiven myself. And I block that wall. And there's a wonderful saying in Psalms that says that building high walls only invites destruction. So here I am trying to protect myself, and all I'm doing is inviting destruction. So here's how Cain was living. But God, in his mercy, brought a third child, or if you wish, another consciousness, to the Adam and Eve. That was Seth. Now Seth, of course, already knows about the two trees. But Seth is more about God, and he's not so wrapped up into all the things like Cain and Abel were. He's God-fearing, and he comes to believe in one God and turns to this one God. And in time, he has a child, and his child that is called Enos. And though Enos has a deep faith, he suffers greatly. And in that suffering brings him to God, rather than just on his own. So the suffering, in a sense, is helping him. Now here's something that's pretty amazing, because Cain, who completely shut down, has another child, Enoch, who is repentant, you see. And in God's mercy and forgiveness and salvation, now Enoch is of a new mind, a new consciousness, starting fresh. And what is beautiful about this story, where we had Cain and Abel and everything got screwed up, we now have Enoch and Enos. This is the new Cain and Abel. This is Cain and Abel rebuilt, but now with faith in God, a belief in God, trying to break away from that tree of life, or trying to get more into the tree of life and break away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is hard to do. I think we can all relate to that. You know, we go in and out of it. That's why I say in our meditations, it's the same principle. It's like when you catch yourself in there, just leave. You don't have to stay there. Don't beat yourself up. Don't unforgive yourself. Don't fill yourself with shame. Oh, I did it again. Let me get out of there again. Because God will let me get out of it. With God's might and God's courage and God's love, I can leave every time I go and walk back into that. That's the beauty of it. So what happens is with time, there's this whole listing I have here of, if you may have noticed, Enos begot Cain and so forth and so on. But in the end, we see the name Enoch again. So now Enoch, what has happened is the name reappears again. And because the name represents a rebuilding of the self, a starting over, to be refreshed, to be a new man or a new woman, to see things differently. See, but now, because of this combination of the Enos and Enoch, the Enoch child consciousness, through a few more generations, something even greater happens. He's not so much about turning to God out of his suffering. He's about turning to God with Christ's mind. What does that mean? I know God will heal. I know God will provide. I know God is my abundance. I know I don't have to do it alone. That's the spark of Christ's mind. When we have that, we are in the Christ mind. The same as Jesus. Now, not as deeply practiced and work and as Jesus came on this earth and lived it 24/7. But when we were in there for a few seconds, it's the same Christ mind that Jesus was in. And that's what Jesus was teaching us. That's why Paul is so popular in the New Testament, because Paul is constantly telling us the Christ within, the kingdom within. Jesus came and told us it's all about within. I am within. I am in you, as you are in me, as we are in God. Know this truth. And no matter how much you screw up and triple over yourself and stumble, know that that's still there. And return to it as quickly as possible. You know? And I've learned over the years, the less I beat myself up, the quicker I can return. And it's hard. It's hard because it's not God not forgiving me. It's me not forgiving me. And I need to know that. It's important to know that. Because let's not put that on God. That's my struggle. And isn't that beautiful to know that that's not God? It's just me. And if I just spend some time in silence and spend some time in prayer, I can return to that spark of Christ and know this truth and remove myself from telling myself such terrible things. I don't need to tell myself these things. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. So these stories can be told in different ways. This is one way that it was also taught to me. And I love it because I love the idea of spiritual psychology. And I believe that they were teaching like that. And I believe that's what Jesus was teaching. And that's the wisdom of it all. That's the purpose of why we have these stories. Back in the day, you know, they didn't have movies and things of that sort. So their stories could get, you know, people wanted a good 6-hour story. You know, so we get all these generations of names. And each one of those names, which I'm not going to go into because we'll be here to dinner time, represent how, from Seth to Enoch, so far and so on, and returning to Enoch again, explains in those names how that actually occurred. Each name represents a step to the Enoch who has changed but becomes of the spark of Christ. So we see this as far back as in the story of Adam and Eve in that family tree, the spark of Christ coming alive. But it's very small at this point. And so then you can begin to see it in other stories of Abraham, of Moses, of Elijah, of Joseph, and so many of them. And some of them really demonstrated and lived and performed things of healing and that were equivalent to what Jesus was doing. But Jesus came and mastered it. And the lesson there is that we can master it. For he tells us, you can do these things I do. Well, I want to keep learning that. And even inside me, I'm like, yeah, you'll never quite get there. Well, you know what? There's that voice again, isn't it? Isn't that voice? What do you mean? I don't know if I'll ever get there or not, but I can keep trying. I can keep putting my faith in knowing that God would like me to do that. And if I don't, that's okay too. God's not going to punish me because I couldn't pull that off. But God would love for me to come closer, understand this better. We call ourselves divine science here. See, this is the science. Emmett Fox calls it a science. Quimby practiced. In fact, Quimby, I love it. I came across it a few weeks ago. He said, you might be of Christ's mind and not understand why these great things are happening, but you know, that's called being an ignorant Christ. But the more you can understand how these things are happening and how you got there with your faith, makes it so much easier for you to live when you understand how you're doing it. Rather than just saying, oh, I cut a break again, or God gave me a miracle today. Well, maybe that's true, or maybe I'm doing something and I don't realize what it is I'm doing. And what I'm doing is good. God good. Christ good. And there's nothing self-centered about that, because you cannot demonstrate or live in Christ's mind and be selfish. It just doesn't work. You won't be doing it. So I can't be a braggart or self-centered about it or think I'm just something else while I'm doing that. Because if I'm doing that, then I'm not doing it. You know? I might think I am, but I'm not. And that's the big difference. And that's the thing to pay attention to. That's the beauty of it. God works so wonderfully and so perfectly that I cannot twist and destroy what God has created. I can con myself. And I can be conned by others who do things like that. But you cannot undo what God has done. And that's a wonderful thing to keep coming back to. To know this. That's part of the science. To know that. It helps me to see a little bit clearer. Who am I? Where am I coming from? And all I have to do is just say something that Jesus always said. And I hear other people say it, especially when they're in their hour of need. It's not me, it's God at work. This is God's love. This is God's grace. This is God's salvation. This is God's mercy. And at the same time, it's me working it. As clearly said, we're not puppets. We have the freedom. I choose being part of that kind of consciousness is realizing a part of myself that I hadn't paid too much attention to. So that's why we teach that there's no separation, that God is omnipresent. God cannot be more or less. I cannot say, God, I need more of you. What I really need to say is, God, I need to be a lot more closer to you. I need to be more open-minded and receptive to you, because God cannot become more. God is everything. God is infinite. But I can grow more into that realization, and I can practice that in my daily living more. And at least try to. And allow that spark of Christ to just keep awakening inside me. So there's that story. And I love the stories this way. I've learned them from several people. You know, this is really isn't anything. I recently had someone, a friend of mine who's a minister, going, someone like Emmett Fox, going, boy, he's ahead of his time. I'm like, nah, he's been around for a long time, and this thinking's been around for, as another minister once said to me, all this talk about the New Age, you know, remember that was real popular about 10 years ago? The New Age. And he goes, no, I'm all about the New Age, except it started 2,000 years ago. With Jesus. That was the New Age. It's not in the 21st century. 2,000 years ago. The New Age. Anyway. So let us just remember that. Don't be too hard on yourself. And always be willing to receive God's love and goodness. And don't build that wall up. Because that wall is only a wall that invites destruction. You know, it's okay. It's okay who I am. It's okay what I've done or didn't do. It's okay. God is still there and will welcome me as quickly as I can be receptive to it. So let's just, in prayer, give thanks to God, to truth, to the wisdom and the knowledge that's been taught by so many. And it continues to be passed on in many different stories, in many different tellings. Because truth remains truth, however it's told. It cannot be altered or changed. And we can always be receptive to it and can always return to it. This is the love. This is the wisdom. This is the I am. And the I am is that we are the children of God. And so it is. Amen.